J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
The response to COVID-19 was devastating to our country, and it's going to be years before we really know the effects and the outcome on our society and especially on our children. What it did to our children's math and reading levels is horrific. Here's what is shocking to me. There are 1,524,481, this is over 1 million, 1.5 million.
I know watching that made my math level drop.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. How you doing, kids? You are at jconthewine.com. All right, let's get this out of the way right away. Yesterday, Dave Murray put something up on his Facebook page and his other social media stuff, and it was unclear what he was saying, and I think it was deliberately unclear, deliberately nebulous, and people were looking at it going, well, what does this mean? I don't get it. It was a touch on the cryptic side, too, which just intensified things. Well, now people start contacting me. What is Dave referring to? What's he talking about? Is there something coming? Did he tell you anything? We need to know. And so I texted him, and I'm like, Dave, what is going on? You put something up that has really teased these people to the point where they're already in a frenzy. Is there something coming? This would be the first part of next week. Is there something coming? Is it rain? Is it snow? Is it another severe weather outbreak? What is it? And he said, yes. I'm like, yes what? It could be any of those things. It could also be nothing. Well, that doesn't really help me. He's like, yeah, well, you know, this thing is a week away. I mean, right now, this is nothing more than a little impulse that has gotten the attention of the people who watch little impulses out hundreds of miles off the coast of, you know, British Columbia. And we're just seeing something out there. And then you got the computer models and they start, you know, alarming people if you don't know how to properly interpret the stuff. And so some people are getting really, really carried away on it. There's no possible way that we could have any idea what's going to happen the first part of next week, if anything. All we're saying is there's something out there, and some of the computer models are indicating that something could happen in our part of the country, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there of next week, keeping in mind that this is only Wednesday. So we could be almost a week out from this thing. Moral of the story, there's no way to predict the weather that far in advance. Is something coming? I don't know. The guys with the degrees in meteorology don't even know. But it's just, like they say, something to watch. As we get closer to the weekend and deeper into the weekend, I'm sure they will clarify all this. But right now, it's nothing more than just something that's like, huh, look at that. Well, that's interesting. And look what the computer model is doing with it. So who knows? I only know we're supposed to be playing baseball in St. Louis in 2 weeks and a day. The Cardinals open up against the Dodgers in Los Angeles a week from tomorrow, be on the road for a week, and then home for the home opener. Be nice if it warmed up a little bit. Cardinals had two games yesterday, one of those split squad things. Cardinals beat the Marlins 11-10 in the early game. The Mets beat us 3-1 last night. But you get those split squads, you know, just buses going off in different directions. You don't know who's on the bus. Is he on the bus? Nah, he didn't make that trip. You don't even know who the hell is playing. And there's guys out there with jersey numbers that are in the 80s and 90s, which is great if you're in football. But if you're in baseball and you got a number in the 80s and 90s, guess what? You're probably not coming north to St. Louis. Blues took their 4-game winning streak into Colorado last night, and it's time to start a new streak because they lost 4-3. March Madness really getting into high gear now. Number 3, Illinois, plays number 14, Morehead State, tomorrow, 2:10 in Omaha. Omaha is an interesting place. I spent a year and a half of my life there back in the early 1980s. It's really cut off from the rest of the world because there's nothing within hundreds and hundreds of miles. You know, you go to a place like, like Columbia, Missouri. All right, you're so close to St. Louis, so close to Kansas City, so you have those major population centers. But the closest big city to Omaha is probably Kansas City to the south, about 3.5 hours. Second closest city is Des Moines, which is still a fairly small place. So Omaha is just really floating out there on the Great Plains in the middle of nowhere, and that's not necessarily a good thing because they came up with some pretty wacky shit when I was living there. For one thing, Paul Harvey was a god there. You could have taken every reporter, you could have taken Walter Cronkite, Peter Jennings, Mike Wallace, Morley Safer, Edward R. Murrow, Gutenberg, he invented the printing press, put all those people together in a room, and if Paul Harvey was speaking on the other end of town, everybody would be over there for Paul Harvey. It was so, my radio station ran Paul Harvey, and he did, three feeds a day. One of them was like the morning 5-minute thing, and we took that live, I think it was at 7:25, and so that would come in on the network, and you'd have to sit there and back time, and it's 7:24, and you're reading the weather, and you're looking at the clock, and then it's like getting close to the time of the hour, and then you're going, and now here's Paul Harvey, and then Paul Harvey would just magically appear on the radio station coming in on the network. The weird one, though, was 11:45 every day. That's when he had his big, long, 15-minute-long thing. And as is the case, whenever you're dealing with electronic equipment, you have electronic equipment failures. In the case of WOW, which, by the way, was one of Johnny Carson's old radio stations I was working at, you'd have a tape recorder in the studio that was set at 11:45 to automatically begin recording Paul Harvey. And then you had a backup system in the engineering department just in case something went wrong. Why was all of this necessary? Because if Paul Harvey didn't air, two things happened. First of all, people were ready to start storming the station, and the poor switchboard operator would have to just sit there and answer call after call after call. And also, people became quite accusatory, insisting that our failure to run Paul Harvey was part of a communist plot. And I've told you this story before. When I worked in Chicago radio at ABC, the studio for the sort of FM rock station, WDAI, was right on the other side of the wall from Paul Harvey's office. More specifically, Paul Harvey was a big star, so he had his own bathroom and his own shower. And when the shower would run, you can actually sort of hear the vibration coming through the wall because you're just on the other side of the wall from a shower stall. But people noticed that shower was going at all hours of the day and night. And somebody, to make a long story short, somebody finally figured out that Paul Harvey had little Dolly on the side. So Paul Harvey would be doing the horizontal bob with some some Paul Harvey fan. And then before Angel could find out, he took a shower and changed clothes. What a nut. What a nut. And welcome to Omaha. Omaha, by the way, you know, every large community has some sort of outdoor venue, a place to hold things like, you know, state fairs and stuff like that. And in Omaha, we had Exarbin. And they would run commercials this Sunday at Exarbin. You're like, what the hell kind of a word is Exarbin? And then somebody pointed out to me very early on, Exarbin is Nebraska spelled backwards. Creativity abounding in Nebraska. Again, this is one of these stories you're going to think I'm making it up, but I'm not. One year, the main attraction at the Exarbin yearly big festival, whatever it is they did, was Arnold Ziffel, Arnold the pig from Green Acres. That was the celebrity. Thinking, oh, geez, let's get him on the phone, huh? Big celebrity comes to town. It's my job to interview him. Arnold, thanks for joining us here on the show. Tell me, what are some of your fond memories from the TV show Green Acres? Really? Wow. That much, huh? And how long did that go on? Right. Got some of your friends along with you, huh? And you got to be pretty cocky if you've got a state and you name one of your cities Wahoo. David Letterman always used to do that in the top 10 list from the home office in Wahoo, Nebraska. And I'm sure people thought he was just making that up to be funny. No, there really is a Wahoo, Nebraska. And then the other weird thing that I remember about it is that about an hour southeast of Omaha, you had the University of Nebraska. And on days where the football team would have a game, just the stadium alone became the second largest city in the state of Nebraska. Just the stadium alone. That didn't seem right to me. And I got the hell out of there. But you know, you go where the jobs are. And by the way, our station, 59 WOW, and I got to do a quick little engineering seminar for you here. The stations on the AM band that were way down on the left-hand side, for a lack of a better way of putting it, were fatter on the dial than the ones way over on the right-hand side, which were a lot skinnier. And back when you had a car radio, you'd actually manually tune the thing. You could even tell that 59 WOW was starting to come in before you had even really gotten all the way there. And because of that, and the fact that we were pushing out 5,000 watts, we hit something like, I don't know, 16 states at night. It was back in the days where you were expected to answer the phone when it rang. And listeners were constantly calling in to request songs and just tell you some story of some kind. And you were required to answer the phone. I'd be getting calls from all over the place. But it was an odd little place. It was an odd little place. You could see this coming. Somebody at a talent agency somewhere said, I think this Travis Kelce has got something. And they've been wanting to reboot this Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show. And this time it's Amazon Prime that's interested in doing it. So they're talking to Travis Kelce about him hosting the reboot of the show. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, let's pose that question. He has picked out a 5'11" blonde who is one of the most powerful women in the world right now and who is worth billions of dollars. Is he smarter than a fifth grader? I'm going to go with yes. Chick-fil-A is going to start experimenting with pizza, and Subway is switching from Coke to Pepsi. I'm sorry, it's probably got something to do with what you're used to, but I think Pepsi is nasty. It's to the point now where if you go to a restaurant and you go, okay, I'll have a Diet Coke, and they go, is Pepsi okay? And I used to say, is Monopoly money okay? But then I realized it's not their fault. It's not the fault of the server that the restaurant is bringing me Pepsi because they don't have Coke. So now I can't even drink the stuff. I just think it's absolutely awful. So I get lemonade or I get water or something else. I know this will upset some people, but I've about had it with Andy Cohen. Now, when Andy Cohen first came along, everybody was like, oh, well, this is sort of cool. This guy's from St. Louis and he's on TV. And when you tune in the show, you see he's got a Cardinal baseball hat behind him. He's always talking about how great St. Louis is. And, oh, this is great. Local boy makes good. But then after a while, you're like, yeah, but what he's doing is all this trash TV, all this Real Housewives stuff and celebrity gossip and stuff that'll just make your brain go soft. Just a lot of cheap crap. And so the other day he's got Jenny McCarthy on. Why are you giving a voice to somebody this dangerous? You know, at least in part, we have Jenny McCarthy to thank for the fact that we right now, we're only 3 months into the year, January, February, March. And already we have more measles cases in this country than we had in the country in the entire year last year. Because Jenny McCarthy had a baby and the baby was autistic and she decided that it was the vaccinations that were the problem. And so she's been flapping her trap ever since about it. And there's no shred of truth to it. And if you are one of those people who believes that, I really do feel sorry for you. And let's just talk about Jenny McCarthy for a minute, okay? She went to Mother Macaulay High School, which was the sister school of our nemesis. I went to St. Lawrence High School, And we hated these guys from Brother Rice. We despised these guys from Brother Rice. And they had a school across the street because they didn't let the men and the women, boys and girls back then, fraternize. So we'd build a boys' school, and then you'd have like a demilitarized zone, some sort of moat with alligators and crocodiles in it and leeches. And that separated you, the boys, from the girls on the other side of that moat. I remember when I was in high school. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. There was a speed bump at the very edge of the parking lot. And so at lunchtime, you'd have your lunch, and then you would just go outside. They would just push us outside, and guys would just roam around on the parking lot for another 20 minutes or so. And sometimes the girls from Queen of Peace, right across this moat, and I'm making it up. There wasn't a moat, but there was like, it was like a DMZ, a demilitarized zone. And then they had a speed bump. The girls couldn't go past their speed bump, and the boys couldn't go past ours. In between, that's probably maybe about 120 feet, you know, the distance from home plate to second base. It was about that wide. And there was a period of time where I had a girlfriend who went to Queen of Peace, and sometimes I would see her, she would see me, and then I would go to my speed bump, she would go to hers, and we would just yell stuff to each other from across the thing, and the Christian brother would come over and chase me out of there. Come on, get out of here. Because I was talking to my girlfriend at lunch. Hell, my 4 years in college, we had men's dorms and women's dorms. And at 10:30 every night, they would lock the doors and put up a partition, and you were not allowed to be in the women's dorm past 10:30. I'm sorry. Shit like this screwed us up. Especially now when you look at college campuses and everything is so free. You can come and go as you want. If you want a gender-specific dorm, you can get one. But if you don't want, well, you can get one of those too. But back to Jenny McCarthy. So she has this baby and it's autistic. And she's been just going on and on and on about it because she is one of these anti-vaxxers who believes that it causes autism. Even though those allegations have been shot down in what seems like hundreds of studies they've done on this. And let's be honest here, okay? Let's be honest with each other. Jenny McCarthy dyed her hair from brown to blonde. She had them install enormous fake boobs, which she showed continuously for about, I don't know, 20 years. She was always popping up naked somewhere. On television, she would just do all these physical contortions with her face and sticking her tongue out and everything, like on the TV show Remote Control. And she was very animated, still is. But if she didn't look like she does, nobody would give a fucking rat's ass about anything she had to say. And this is another thing that's wrong with this country. The people who give her a voice, the people who put her on television, whether it's Andy Cohen or that goofy TV show that she's in where people come out singing with fake heads on, and she's thinking, I don't know if I can spread this misinformation as well as I spread my legs for Playboy all these years, maybe I've got something. And people buy into it. I guess it's just because the real stuff in the world seems too easy, sort of mundane. I think it's the reason people watch soap operas. You know, their lives are sort of dull and boring. You're living in a one-bedroom flat in a bad neighborhood in Wichita, and you know your husband is having an affair. Man, so you pull out the bag of potato chips and you sit down in front of the TV and you watch the soap operas because their lives seem more interesting. And I think it's the same way with conspiracy theories. They're so nutty that they're almost entertainment. But when you start believing the shit, so Andy Cohen, not impressed. Sorry, dude. I might give this thing a shot tonight. I've seen the trailer and it looks sort of interesting. It's called Palm Royale. It's on Apple TV starting today. Kristen Wiig, and this is why she is on television tonight with Jimmy Fallon. It's why she's hosting Saturday Night Live. She's out there promoting this whole thing. Apple TV Plus. Kristen Wiig plays a woman desperately trying to break into Palm Beach high society. The rest of the cast includes Ricky Martin, Leslie Bibb, Laura Dern, Allison Janney, and Carol Burnett. The hell is going on there? Celebrities, especially the ones on TV, are finally copping to the fact that they are using drugs like Mounjaro and Wegovy, Ozempic, Whoopi Goldberg, and one of the other hosts on The View, both copying to it yesterday. Oprah still will not tell anybody what stuff she took to lose all the weight she has. ESPN reporter Hannah Storm diagnosed with breast cancer. Live-action Popeye movie is in development. It's been 44 years since Robin Williams did it back in 1980. Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger working on a new movie together. Lady Gaga returning to Vegas this summer for her jazz and piano residency. Pretenders are going out on tour this summer. So is Kansas. And I remember this date back in 2004, 20 years ago today. Because the Disney people would call us up maybe once every 2 years and say, we're doing some sort of special thing down here in Orlando. If you would like to come down and broadcast live from Disney World, we'll pay for everything. All you got to do is come down here, do the show, and talk about Disney, and we'll bring you and your entire crew down. And so we did it on this date back in 2004, and it was for the 50th anniversary of Disney. I think it was 50. Pretty sure it was 50. So it wasn't just us and a bunch of other radio stations. It was TV stations. It was media from all over the world because it was this big, big anniversary. I think the Today Show was live from Disney and Regis and Kelly were live down there. But they wouldn't let us anywhere near them. See, but when I'm on location on a trip like that, I see a celebrity. A lot of shows, they would just say, hey, we saw Regis. That doesn't do anybody any good. You got to get Regis. But the Disney people were like, no, 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 no. So a little light goes off in my head. Ding. Even though lights don't make that sound. Anyhow, I call up Eric Mink. I'm like, you're always telling me how you're good friends with Regis. We are. I was just talking to him last week. Okay. And I explained the situation to him. He goes, well, let me make a call. I don't even think it was 45 minutes later. We get a call from Regis and Kelly's publicist. Oh, they'd be happy to talk to you. See, Eric pulled the string. So they're like, okay, how about tomorrow at, noon? Okay, fine. We'll be there. And so we go to the appropriate place that took us in a golf cart, and we're standing around for a couple of minutes. All of a sudden, out of the trailer, here comes Regis, and here comes Kelly. Now, the last time I had seen Regis in person was in the Bahamas. We were doing, again, a free show down there. And Regis at the time was working for Lifetime. I don't think his career was doing very good back then. And I remember one night he was coming out of this restaurant we knew he was in, and everybody just started chanting, Regis, Regis, Regis. And he sort of had this look on his face like, man, it sucks to be me. We didn't know. We didn't know that his career was going to experience this tremendous resurgence and that he was going to become more popular than he had ever been before. Which he did. But like I said, they pop out of their trailer, and it was cool.
Kelly, probably before you were even born, you don't even know about this. This man standing right next to you did a show in St. Louis.
Yes.
What years was that, Regis?
It was 71 to 74, and it was on Saturday night, and it was called Regis Philbin Saturday Night in St. Louis. And it was a lot of fun and a highly rated show, and it was a live show most of the time. And I'm glad some people still remember it.
Yeah. Now, what was it like, and what do you remember about the city of St. Louis? What were your hangouts? Who did you hang with? I mean, did you have celebrity, local celebrities that you kind of hung with at that time?
We went after the show to the top of, what is the restaurant?
Well, it used to be the Clarion Hotel.
Really?
Yeah, that cylindrical one.
No, it wasn't that one. See, you don't even know you're St. Louis. You know what I mean? You missed a big shot there on radio. You don't even know St. Louis. Was it the Ramada? Early days. Yeah. And we go around, you know, we go up there, have a few drinks, a little dinner. It was great.
Yeah. Just like now?
Just like now.
Kelly and I always get drunk. About 10, 15, we're
10, totally 15, we're on the floor.
We're whacked out of our mind. We don't know who we are. Yeah.
Kelly, how did this job and how did Regis, how is he different than what you were told it was going to be like working with him?
He's not different at all. He's exactly how he is. I mean, he doesn't...
What did they say about me, Kelly? What? What did they say? What does he know that we don't know?
He doesn't change. What you see on camera is what you see off camera.
That's it.
And the other big difference from doing a local show like you did in the 70s in St. Louis, you do those local shows kind of on a shoestring. There's like 150 people running around here. What did they all do?
Now, please, believe me.
We can't figure it out.
Around here, there are 150 people. But up in New York, we have like about 8 people on our staff. I've always done a local show. When I started my local show, I was it. I booked the guests. I produced the show. I flew them down PSA into San Diego. I seated the audience. I did it all.
They stayed at the house with you and Joy.
That's it. But, you know, I've always been able to do it on a small... In fact, I think it's easier that way. There's less confusion. There's less people bumping into each other. And you're more apt to get things done correctly.
Kelly, the last time we saw Regis, it was in the Bahamas. I don't even know if you remember this. You were working for Lifetime Cable at the time. Yeah. And you were doing some stuff, the Boathouse restaurant right across from the hotel.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was kind of a small production staff. At that time, my career was doing great. You were on Lifetime. Now my career is in the dumper and you're doing great.
And that's the way it should be. I can't think of a more fitting ending to that story. You in the dumper, you got a bigger staff than I've got here. You're talking about us. Who are all these people hanging around you, fixing your hat, yeah, putting your sunglasses together?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the Cable Health Network, right? Before Lifetime?
Yeah.
Right around the time Lifetime was born, out of the Cable Health Network. Yeah, I had a cable show, and I enjoyed it very much. Yeah.
And by the way, Kelly, we have it on good authority that the New York Daily News today, Eric Mink's column, that's our buddy, does the show with us, is writing a great story basically saying that the people at ABC might be out of their minds for maybe thinking about cutting back on Millionaire.
Okay. I think that there is no network without Millionaire. I think that it's been proven time and again that Millionaire has saved the network. It's the only show worth watching.
Look at Regis looking at you.
He's the king. Stop sticking me with that cattle prod. He's the king.
Where does that all stand at this point?
Actually, it's left, you know what, they don't have to make a decision until next May. You know that. That's when they make their final decision. Somebody backed this poor executive against the wall and said, can you guarantee? There are no guarantees in television when you're 7 months away from determining what your next year's schedule is. So he said, I can't guarantee it. And there aren't many shows that he could guarantee anyway. So that's started the whole furor.
Regis and Kelly, Channel 4, 9 o'clock, right after we get off the air in St. Louis. And, of course, Millionaire on ABC 30. Guys, thank you very much. Have a great time in Orlando.
Thanks a lot.
We love St. Louis. I remember it as being one of the great cities I ever was in. And the sports fans there are just the best.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
As you can probably tell from the tone of the conversation, they were both very, very nice. And Regis is really funny. They were really, really fun to talk to. And with that... The J.C. Corcoran podcast for today, March 20th, 2024, is in the can. We are here every Monday through Thursday, so tomorrow will be our last podcast for the week, and we'll be back live again on Monday. We do this every Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock, and if you want to spread the word, that helps us out too. Let everybody know that we're not only here doing the podcast at 11, Monday through Thursday at jcontheline.com, but also on the morning radio show on K-Wolf. At 101.5 in St. Louis and still 101.7 out west. We stream at kwolf.com. Enjoy your day. We're back in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.